Let's do this. The Cult of Hockey podcast by the faithful and for the faithful. I'm Bruce McCurdy, flying solo for the third time this week because my usual recording partner, David Staples, continues to chase the dream at the provincial finals, coaching his daughters and other girls' teams in Okotoks, Alberta. So good luck to David, and we will just have to proceed without you in this one. And you picked not a bad game to miss, David, I have to say. As our Edmonton Oilers somehow managed to find a way to lose to the Ottawa Senators on home ice, 4-3 in overtime, so they at least got 1 point out of the game. But let's face it, folks, they need to win out. And winning out when you have road games against Vegas, Calgary, Colorado in the last week of the season, it's not likely to happen there. And it certainly isn't likely to happen if you can't beat a team like the Ottawa Senators, who came to town with the worst road record in the league and still managed to find a way to win a game against against the Oilers. So I'll get into that in a bit more detail under the bad things, as you can be sure. But we're going to do our usual two good things, two bad things, two numbers. And for the two good things, I was hard-pressed to find two. I almost had to pick Drew Remender's joke about what he was doing 30 years ago, washing his hair. Made me laugh, which wasn't easily done in the middle of this game. Anyway, I'm going to pick out two of the young, but not that young, two Oilers staking their claim to at least being competitive for a job next year. And those would be two guys that were crucial on the tying 3-3 goal, Joe Gambardella and Colby Cave. I'll talk about them separately, though. Gambardella is showing much better in his second call-up than the first to the NHL, when he seemed just a little half-step behind on the anticipation front. And honestly, he got so little ice time, he didn't really get a chance to turn it around. And this trip up, he's getting more ice time. He played just a few ticks shy of 10 minutes today, so fourth line minutes. But in that time, he managed to impressed on a number of fronts. Number one, Buddy is really good on the forecheck. And in fact, he's real good in puck battles, period. He really has some good ideas of how to control, protect the puck while under physical duress. He put a couple of sends under physical duress with a couple of nice hits today, and did a nice job behind his own blue line on at least one occasion. Caught my eye that he made a strong defensive play and good play to subsequently clear the puck out of the zone, which has been a weakness of Oilers generally this year when they get under pressure in their own end. Plus, he has a NHL caliber May playoff beard going all the time. So points for that. I barely missed Jujhar Khaira with Joe Gambardella in the lineup taking his place. So good on Joe. And his assist was lovely. You know, it was a backhand pass. Second game in a row, the puck kind of came quickly to him, and just as quickly it was off his stick on the backhand side and onto the stick of a teammate in the slot. And somewhat surprisingly, in both cases, it was Brodziak on Thursday and Cave today. But both times the guy took advantage of his quick opportunity and buried it. So assists on you know, good plays that became great plays when with the shot included. But Gambardella got the puck to the right guy in the right position, and bam. So full marks for that. Joe, two-game point scoring streak. Well done. And as for Colby Cave, he had his second goal of the year. As pointed out by both the radio and television crew, both of those goals came in games against the Senators. Last time it was the winning goal early in the third period in the 4-2 Edmonton win in Ottawa. And this time it was the tying goal midway through the third period that at least secured the 1 point and gave Edmonton the chance to get the second. And Cave had nice results today, and flow of play stats. The Oilers were pushing the play when Cave was out there, and he played with different line mates. He kind of moved the bottom six around a little bit. He got some shifts with Gambardella and Curry, and others with the other fellows on the bottom six. Drawing a blank off the top of my head, who, Reeder, of course. And so he got a couple of shifts with Reeder along the way as well. Anyway, Cave he impresses me. He's got good fundamentals, and he, as good grinders do, he seems to show up to play every game. And he's had, a couple of so-so games, but for the most part, he doesn't do a whole lot to hurt the team. And every once in a while, he'll surprise you by chipping in something positive. And really, on this team, anybody in the bottom six, if they can even saw off, then that's really what you want. And you want to give your big boys a chance to win it. And Cave did more than saw off today with a goal and a plus one, a couple shots on net, a couple of hits, and an impressive 5 out of 6 for 83% on the faceoff dot. And this was one game where the Oilers seriously dominated the dot, 34 out of 54 for 63% all told. So, and Cave was part of that. So a couple of the lesser lights, and so it goes on games that you lose. It's games where probably your big guns didn't fill the net, let's put it that way. Yeah. So, now the two bad things. Okay. Got to go back to special teams, where there was 3 power plays in this game, 2 for Edmonton, or 2 for Ottawa, 1 for Edmonton. Ottawa outscored Edmonton 2-0 in those 3 power plays, converting both of their power play opportunities and holding Edmonton even without a shot. Ottawa actually outshot Edmonton's power play on the one chance they had, tie game, 7 minutes left in the third. And you like to think the power play is going to bear down and at least make something happen out there in such a situation, but they really got nothing going. One nice rush by Draisaitl that got thwarted near the net, and that was pretty much it. And so the power play, somewhat disappointing, but the penalty kill, come on, 0 out of 2. And this has been a problem with this team for far too long. The penalty kill has wallowed in the bottom quarter of the league, it seems like, for every year but the one playoff year when Talbot was running so hot on the PK. But systematically, they just seem to get beat. The first goal was a lot of a garbage goal where Koskinen got kind of caught out of position on one side, and Brady Tkachuk came around the other side and he banked it off of first Adam Larson, then Koskinen, and in. So that was a bit of a moldy one. And the second one was just a matter of allowing a straightforward pass right through the slot, right on the tape of Bobby Ryan on the edge of the crease, who tapped it in. It was excellent revenge for Ryan, who had drawn the power play in the first place when he got a butt end right in the mouth from Darnell Nurse. Drew a little blood. For some reason, the refs only called 2 minutes for high sticking when easily it was 4 minutes. And to me, it was butt ending. Well, it was kind of accidental, but still, Tkachuk was on the bench nursing his mouth, and then he came out on the ice and scored at the tail end of the power play. So that had to feel good for him. That's kind of like the batter who picks himself up after a brushback pitch and drives one into the seats during the same at bat. Anyway, special teams, killing the Oilers, and especially that penalty kill. The power play has its good games, and today it's kind of hard to call it a game when you only get one chance, but it is, today didn't deliver the goods either. And the other bad thing is the bigger thing, and that's the more general thing, and that's wasted opportunities on home ice. And it bugs me. And, as a fan blogger, and as a long-time season ticket holder, I'm not anymore, but I was for many years. And to me, the home games are, the the paying customers that are supporting your team. That's the ones I go to see. And you need to deliver the goods on home ice, man. You just got to get it done. This is the second time in 10 days that the Oilers, in a supposed must-win situation in a key, try and dig themselves out of the big hole with games rapidly running out. And 10 days ago, New Jersey Devils came to town with the worst road record in the league at that time. And not only that, but they were missing a number of top scorers, including MVP Taylor Hall, including Nico Hischier, last year's number one overall draft pick, and several other of their top players, New Jersey Devils. And they came in here and they just had their way with the Oilers 6-3. And it was just a brutal performance by the home team. And after that game, the Oilers were saying things like, we didn't respect our opponent enough, and other deadly things you just never want to hear. Like, not respecting your opponent. When you're doing it on your own ice, you're not respecting your own fans. And I'm sorry, that is just not acceptable, fellas. Now, I'm catching up tonight, and I did not have a chance to hear the post-game bump out of this game, but whether they said they didn't respect their opponents or not, fact remains that the Ottawa Senators came to town with the worst road record in the league, 9 wins on the entire season. They lost 5 roadies in a row. Craig Anderson, their goalie, had lost 14 games in a row. He hadn't won, like the last time he won was in the fall, December 16th. All the 3 winter months, he never won a game. Now he's into the spring, beats the Oilers in Edmonton. Again, Craig Anderson. And 4-3. But you know what? The Senators outshot the Oilers 35-29. They had, by my count, a grade A scoring chances, 12 for Ottawa, 11 for Edmonton. The radio crew said they thought Ottawa was slightly the better team. I came home. I was working in the city this afternoon, so I watched the game on tape delay, and I came home and I saw pretty much the same thing. You know, Edmonton had its moments, not enough of them. Ottawa had its moments, and a game where really, you know, you need to put your foot on the throat of a team that's limping to the end of the season like Ottawa. And whereas New Jersey was missing guys to injury, Ottawa traded away their 3 top goal scorers. Right, all of the guys that they had who could score. So the guys they had in this game had a combined, the forwards, they showed on TV, 113 goals all year, 113 goals all year, like 74 or 5 games. And those same forwards managed to get 4 against your Edmonton Oilers in a critical situation for the Oilers. And I mean, you can draw the curtain over this season whenever you want to. You can say it happened at that New Jersey game. You could say it happened in January when the Oilers lost 5 straight on home ice. You can say whatever. But whatever lip service is being played, playoff chances, you can't be blowing points, even single points, in games like this. And the Oilers, unfortunately, for all that we built this lovely $600 million barn, it is the most welcoming barn in the league, it seems like. Oilers lay out the welcome mat for team after team. This year, there's 17-17-3, so technically 500. But flip that around, visiting teams are 20-12-5 for 608 percentage. The Oilers have beaten outright 12 wins in 37 games in regulation at home, 12 wins. And in the other 25 games, the visitors have left town with some kind of result. 20 of them, they got both points that they came to get. So that is very depressing. And I'm not sure when it's going to change, and I'm not sure what it's going to take to change it. You know, you want to have a home barn where other teams just don't want to play here because they know they're going to get it taken to them. And it just doesn't seem to come together for the Oilers, no matter who they're playing. Even weak sisters like New Jersey and Ottawa have a good fighting chance when they visit good old our town. So, 2 numbers. First number is 5. That's the number 5 consecutive times that the Ottawa Senators have come to Edmonton, won the game, left town. And to riff off my earlier point about rolling out the welcome mat, well, Ottawa, the city of Ottawa, is not that popular in Edmonton, period. And to see the Sens come in and do that time and again is exasperating. I mean, just from a hockey perspective, they haven't had a good team most of those years. And yet, five games in a row, they've won in Edmonton, scoring 20 goals and allowing eight. Like, twice the Oilers took them to overtime and lost. And the other three times, they basically got whipped. So it's frustrating, to say the least. And my other number is one. And that is the key number today. The Oilers got 1 point. Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl in their push for the scoring leaders each got 1 point. In fact, on the same play, very nice play it was too, and a give and go from McDavid to Draisaitl and back to McDavid to the back of the net with Zach Kassian making a nifty play as well on that one. But 1 point each for those boys, 1 point for the Oilers. And the other number one that applies in this game is that for the fourth consecutive game, the Oilers got one, count them, one power play an entire game. And I don't know what it takes to draw penalties in this league. I already pointed out that Nurse probably got away with 2 minutes less than he should have got for drawing blood on Bobby Ryan. But what does it take at the other end? I mean, I'll just isolate three plays. One where Brady Tkachuk slew-footed in the best Tkachuk style, father and sons, slew-footed Chris Russell over by the near side boards just inside Oilers' zone, sent Russell sprawling on the back of his head, and that got missed. And then there was the one where Steve Chiasson got into an altercation with Ben Harper. And Ben Harper, who's a giant guy, dropped the gloves and rained about three or four punches in on bare-knuckle punches in on Chiasson. I mean, they didn't all connect, but he was throwing punches, and Chiasson never got his gloves off. Wasn't really a fight, but that's one where the referee's manual page blank, because it's probably not written down, but that's a 4-2 if I've ever seen one. 4-1 guy, 2 to the other guy. They kind of went at it, but one guy was much more the aggressor, and yet, it's 2 minutes each for roughing. I mean, give me a break. And then the third one was when Leon Draisaitl, on the full-on rush, got tripped outside the blue line and forcing an offside, but a clear penalty. And he went spiraling into the zone on his knees. He went almost, slid almost all the way to the goal line. That's how fast he was going when he got taken down. And he looked into the corner at one ref, nothing. He looked out to center ice at the other ref, nothing. He got up and he flapped his gums a little bit, and I understand why, because he felt like I did. He was pretty cheesed off at that moment, because what does it take? I mean, one power play a game? Come on, guys. Come on, NHL. 4 games in a row. Enough already. Call the freaking game. Anyway. I'm not going to say that's why they won or lost, because the way the special teams were today is probably good. The referees pocketed their whistles for most of it, but it's still frustrating all the same when clear fouls are going unpunished. But so it is. That's just me whining again about the referees, but you got to admit there's some truth to it. They miss a lot of calls. They miss them both ways, but it is frustrating when you're on the short end of several of them in a tight game. Anyway, life goes on. We actually now have 2 days off before the next game. This is the last 2-day rest for the entire remainder of the season, as the Oilers will go Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday at home. Then the last week they go Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, with 3 of those games on the road. And the last week is just a vicious schedule. Vicious. Vegas on Monday, Mile High City on the back-to-back. Home for 1 game against San Jose, who absolutely had their way with Oilers this year. And then they finish up with the last road game in Calgary. So if we were in the hunt for that last playoff berth, that schedule would be a mountain. As it stands, we have some challenges ahead in 2 weeks of the season that remain. I think it's safe to draw a curtain over it now, don't you? Anyway, with that, I'll thank you for listening. And in the meantime, and in between times, this has been another edition of the Cult of Hockey podcast.